Good morning. I think most of us are probably a little skeptical, meaning most of us aren't going to believe something right away the first time somebody tells us. Now, currently, if you're, you know, if you use computers, if somebody tells you something, you don't say, show me, you say, let me look it up on Google. Because everything is true on the internet, right? But we often are people that look for evidence. We go searching. We go looking. We go wondering. We want to know. We want to touch. We want to see. We want to feel. And so in a lot of ways, I think we can understand the situation that the Apostle Thomas found himself in the gospel that we hear for today. His friends were saying that they had seen Jesus, that they had even eaten with him, that he had appeared to them on several occasions, and he was late most of the time to those times. If you read the gospel, he just kind of shows up right afterwards, or he's just not quite there at the right moment, and he kind of misses it. And so when they're gathered, they said, I can't buy this, guys. I can't do this until I see and I touch, and I put my hands, and I know that the one who had died is the one who's risen. Now, there's a lot of Thomases in the world. And I think when we look around in our lives, the question I sometimes have is, would somebody come to belief? Would somebody come to faith? Would somebody be compelled to what we believe when they meet us, or when they find out the story, or when we're willing to risk telling them about our own faith? I'm very grateful to a particular professor that I have named Frank Sagano in seminary. He passed away a couple of years ago. And Frank was a really interesting guy. He's Japanese, and he was an adult convert to Christianity. And what was great about Frank is he would not let any of us get away with anything if we tried to make an assertion about faith. In other words, he'd want us to prove it. And I remember the first class we sat in there, and we were all eager. First couple weeks of seminary, and we sat down, and he said, well, tell me about your faith. And this is, we're in Texas, so I was born in Texas, so I can claim this a little bit. I'm going to use an accent. And we'd say, well, you know, we love Jesus. And why do you love Jesus? Because he does neat stuff. He healed people. Well, why did he heal people? And this would begin 3 years of being pushed every time we had a conversation with Dr. Sagano. He usually got what the students would call the Yoda Award at the end of our time. We always, the seniors gave an award, so he would kind of look like Yoda and he talked like him, and he was this wonderfully wise person. It was a way of giving him honor. But I remember being pushed and sometimes leaving class frustrated. I said, what else do I have to say? What else do I have to do to prove that I believe? And then I realized later on what Frank was trying to get us to do. And that was to realize for many people who have grown up around the church or been in culture where the church is pretty prevalent or been in families where most people go to church, that we've never really been pushed on why we believe or what we believe. It's as if we were always the first ones that Jesus appeared to, and we had no reason to question or to be skeptical. So I think about that when I hear this gospel. And I wonder what we're called to be and called to do. Now, in the story that we hear from the Acts of the Apostles, and remember that's a key word, the Acts, not the contemplations or the thoughtful coffee, you know, sit-downs. It's the Acts of the Apostles. We hear of this community that seems absolutely wonderful. They were there and they were sharing in common with each other, and when everyone came forward and had a need, they made sure that they had it. They shared their property. They did all those things, and I think if you continue in the reading of the Acts, you begin to hear of people being so compelled by the communities of early Christians that they encounter that they want to convert immediately. Sometimes on the side of the road, being baptized in a puddle. Sometimes in mass, in the hundreds, and sometimes even the thousands. They begin to see this community, these people that are so impassioned by the gospel, so impassioned by the love of Christ, and are clearly living in a way that compels others, that they want a piece of it. They want to be part of it. They want to know. Isn't it a lot the same way today? Christianity is often not portrayed too favorably in the media. We either get our most extremes or we get very little attention at all. That isn't the place where people are going to encounter the living body of Christ. The place that they will encounter them is in you. You are, for all intents and purposes, the hands and the feet of Christ in the world. You are the place that someone who might be skeptical of the faith can say, I need to see the wounds and to know and to be able to understand. I need you to show me. I need you to show me the faith. Would someone be compelled, if they sat and talked with you, to enter into faith with Christ? Would someone want to know? And if they were to come to this church for the first time, or if they were to be a part of our ministry, would they want to ask and to be converted? Would they ask to be baptized? These are important questions for us to ask, because really, at the heart of the gospel, this is what we're hearing. See, Jesus continues in this particular gospel, and he charges the disciples to go out into the world and to baptize in his name. And we hear the charge in the Acts of the Apostles and in other places to take the faith and to be real. Now, here's the deal. This week and the weeks ahead, you'll encounter a Thomas. You'll encounter someone who has doubts and faiths and lots of doubts and questions and is perplexed and needs to know whether this is real. And you can't do it in 5 minutes, by the way, and you can't do it in an hour to convince someone to come to the faith, but you can by what you show, by how you live. Lead others to be compelled by the faith that lives within you. Now, you have to be careful. It's not about earning your way into heaven. It isn't that you're getting good marks. It is that because of the love that God has given you, you're willing to do the things that Christ has asked us to do. Feed the poor. Clothe the naked. Give drink to the thirsty. Reach out to those in need. Visit those in prison. Help those who find themselves in need of help. That is what we are compelled as Christians to do within the gospel. And when our lives show forth that kind of generosity, that kind of love, the kind of love that says, I'm loved by God and so are you, people will want to know. And you'll show them. Through Christ's suffering, we do these things. Through Christ's risen body, we do these things. Christ loves us, each of us. So be alert to those that you might encounter that can be the Thomases around you. Know that someone might come to faith through your words and through your actions. And know that people are being called to know and to love Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.